Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Performance from Joseph Benavidez. He went all levels with his attacks.
Once I saw him hurt on the cage, that's when the pit bull came out.
Joseph Benavidez!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Good evening. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I just took my glasses off so I don't look fat and old. We have a good show today. My pal Dan Soder, I don't think he's been on yet. Dan's a really, really funny comic and he's on Billions. And he loves MMA and I'm happy Dan will be on. And we also have Joseph Benavidez who announced his retirement after 15 years. So it'll be good to talk to Joe again.
Yeah, Jimmy. And always good to talk to you, my friend.
Yes, it is. And it's also good when both of our picks are wrong. We couldn't have been wronger.
Well, is wronger correct English?
I don't know. It couldn't be a worse butchering of the English language than our picks.
But why would I say anything about the English language? I barely could speak. Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
How tough, though? It's fucking Devin Clark. Did you see that?
Crazy. Yeah.
What would you do if your teeth? Would you keep fighting if your teeth were like that?
No, I wouldn't, Matt. No, I wouldn't. I would go, good fight. I'm going to go home.
Hey, Jimmy, a lot of other guys that fight in that cage would do the same exact thing.
Yeah.
That couldn't have felt good. That did not look normal.
How many came out?
Dude, it looked like the whole front bottom row was like pushed in.
It looked like three or four of them. Yeah.
And then he went out to fight like that in the last round.
Crazy.
I mean, listen, but you have to give credit to
Jan Kudelava. Yeah,
I love his takedowns, man.
Yeah,
he like switched it on him. You know what I mean? He turned the tables, and Devin Clark could not enforce his grappling, which I thought was going to be the big difference, but. He got out grappled, so that was very interesting.
And he's an animal, Kudelava. That was it. We both took Devin Clark, but you live and you learn.
I'll tell you, the undercard too. There was a lot of great fights.
There really were. The first fight, Goldie against Whitmire, that armbar in the first round. I thought of you. I went, what if Matt saw this?
Not only did I see that, Jimmy, I watched the prelims actually this morning. I watched them late.
And
I watched that fight, and Whitmire was looking great. Yep. Whitmire was on fire. I didn't mean to do a little wrong.
No, it's perfect. I like it. It's preferred.
She was looking great. And Hannah Goldie was kind of like, all right, like accepting that bottom position of the ball. Not that she's accepting it. She was getting taken down.
Yeah.
But with that arm lock, I literally, so you know I'm not bullshitting. You know I don't bullshit, Jimmy.
No.
I don't bullshit, you know. But as you see here, Jimmy, you know, now I literally take this. What does that look like? You hear me talking?
You sound like Michael Bisping.
Well, the thing is this. I'm talking also during it.
Oh, that was Bisping.
I sent that video to two of my daughters, my two older daughters. Because you know my other one doesn't have the
sure.
Texting. So I sent them that video and it said, "Look, we were working on this in class. Look at the angle she had; she was losing that fight." So that's basically. So it's funny that's the fight that you brought up because first of all, just like a one punch could change the course of a fight. She was losing, and she got a beautiful arm lock. And even though she was losing, that arm would have been broken in half. So that's the thrill that you heard in her voice when she got that tapped out verbal submission.
Tap, tap, tap. Is what she said? Tap, 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 right?
Yeah, tap, 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 or it's going to be broke, 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 man.
Yeah.
But that was beautiful because you know I love jujitsu.
Yeah, you do.
Soda is ready to go. We're going to get more into the fights afterwards because the undercard, I was really impressed with Colston Harris defeating Kim Impa.
King Impa. Kasangani, yeah.
That was that because they both looked that one. They both you knew something was happening. That wasn't going to go to distance. You just knew it. And that fight did not disappoint.
By the way, didn't Kutalaba, I'm sorry, Matt, Kutalaba at one point, am I thinking that that's the final thing where he dropped Clark and didn't jump on him fast enough? Like he kind of looked at his handiwork and wound up having to keep fighting. I am thinking that's the fight. He wound up winning. But wasn't there one point where it looked like he could have really finished the fight and he looked at him for a half second or a second while he was on the ground? I want to say it was in the first round where he dropped Devin Clark. And I was like, what's he looking at him for? Maybe he thought Clark was out. But I remember he looked at him a little, reminded me of Sean O'Malley.
Dude, I think Kuta Labor is out of his mind.
Yeah, he's a little crazy. I love it.
He's a very interesting individual. He belongs in a cage. We're going to get Dan Soder in right now, but really,
sure.
Aaron Blanchfield looked freaking excellent versus Salah Apar.
Yeah.
And Sarah was game, but Aaron was all over her.
Yeah, 30-25, 30-25, 30-26. Yeah, that was a very a decisive win. Looking for a new home or you want to save on your current mortgage? Visit rate.com and you could get massive savings with Guaranteed Rate, the official mortgage partner of the UFC. Rates are at a historic lows and you could land that dream home or refinance to potentially cut your current payments in about 15 minutes. Visit rate.com today to get started with Guaranteed Rate. Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. Savings, if any, vary based on a variety of factors. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID number 2611. NMLS Consumer Access. This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by P3, the official protein snack of the UFC. P3 portable protein packs are a savory and crunchy combination of three dynamic sources of protein from meat, cheese, and nuts. Each P3 pack contains up to 13 grams of protein, and they come in great tasting combinations like turkey, almond, and Colby Jack. P3, three dynamic ways to fuel your day with protein packed meat, cheese, and nuts, because three is better than one.
What's up, guys? How the hell are you?
Hey, buddy.
Did you get fights over the weekend or no?
I didn't. I was working in Tempe Improv, bombing in the desert, Matt. That's what I was doing.
Was it a rough weekend?
Hey, nah. It was just, I started comedy in Arizona, and it's like one of those things, you know, like a bully from middle school. They always have the mental edge on you.
Yeah.
Arizona always has that edge where I still feel like an open micer. And I like,
oh, right. Because they know. It's like doing something in front of your family. They know who you are.
They know that I suck at comedy.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm almost, even if I'm killing, I'm like, you guys don't mean that. Shut up.
You feel exposed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So it was one of those. Those are one of two weekends I always have a hard time with her. Going back to Arizona and Colorado because I'm from Denver and I love that club, but I like look out in the audience and you see someone from high school and you're like, oh, well, you know that I'm a loser.
Yeah.
How long was it weird getting your groove back? Because I know Jimmy had to get his groove back. He took
Jimmy's always been getting his groove back.
That's Jimmy right. Stella and me both.
Jimmy goes to Jamaica and just finds a large man to get his groove back.
Find my groove.
I was doing shows enough that like it. I felt like during the pandemic, I was getting up enough that I didn't completely lose my groove. But what was crazy was going back on the road, learning that I don't have that stamina anymore to do 5 hour long shows on a weekend. I was getting like legitimate. I was getting like manual labor tired, and that's how I knew I was at it. Cause I'm like, this is one of the easiest jobs ever.
So and to be tired after it and go, it's too much work. Dude, I'm going to Buffalo this week and I've been doing just Friday, Saturday, but I got to do Thursday too. And I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Cause they're like, you get to like Saturday and you're like two more push through, you know, it's like Matt, when you're training and you haven't trained in a while and you do something you used to do all the time with ease. And then you're like back, you're like, damn, I can't believe how much harder this is than it used to be.
you can't, is it the enthusiasm? Or you, like, yeah. You have to keep your foot on the gas for somewhat, even though it's not manual labor. You have to keep the energy. There's times I go to my jiu-jitsu school, Dan, I've been teaching forever. If I'm feeling a little, I'm having someone, one of my other guys teach it, because they'll be more, oh, I get to teach. You need the enthusiasm, especially for like stand-up, I'd imagine.
Absolutely. And what's weird is it's like little things. Like I had to take two flights to get to Phoenix. So for some reason, that made me more tired than just a direct flight. It's like the smallest thing since COVID. I'm like, why am I not energetic on this Thursday show? And it was like, oh, because I landed at 9 a.m. and I've spent the whole day here in Phoenix.
Yeah, I find that the connecting flight, I had one. And this is my first week back like a month ago. And I fucking canceled the connection and just drove from Chicago to Madison. I drove from Chicago. I'm like, I'll drive 5 hours to avoid a fucking connecting flight.
Dude, I did the exact same thing with Columbus, Ohio back in March. I flew to Detroit and I actually missed my flight. And had to get a rental car, but I was like, I actually kind of prefer this.
Yeah.
Because I don't mind sitting in a rental car for 3 hours, listening to music and talking to myself, as opposed to just running the entire terminal of Detroit's airport, sweating my ass off, getting on a plane.
Why'd you miss was your original flight late, or were you just tardy?
They were, you know, like, we're talking about us getting back in the groove, but it's funny to watch Delta try to get back in the groove.
Yeah.
Cause like airlines are kind of like when no one was flying during COVID, you saw people at Delta just like enjoying their job, being like, hey, you know what? We'll call it from the back of the plane. We're having a good time. Who wants a water? Don't touch me. And then now they're like stressed out and they're like, there's so many fucking people. Yeah. And they're just like, what do I do? So it was like a mixture of that, of like them being stressed in the rain and I missed my connection.
Now the beard, I've never seen you with a beard. Is that for the show? I know you're re-upped on Billions again. Is that for that, or you just like it?
It's just pure laziness.
Yeah.
It is pure laziness. And COVID was the first time I tried to grow a beard and it kind of worked.
Yeah.
Everyone I've talked to is like, just keep trying. See, like the way Matt's facial hair is, you can tell you can grow a hell of a beard if you wanted to.
I might be able to, right?
Dude,
get I don't up. Like when it gets, you know what it does though? I don't like it. I don't like when it gets too long because I sweat and then I feel like it's because I'm training jiu-jitsu, so I don't like it all soggy.
Yeah.
And I don't like the fucking, I take the buzzer thing off the top of it and I go around my lips like, because I don't like it feeling.
Yeah, that's exactly what I feel. Like I'll just constantly be like, it's on my lips, but like a child.
I like that shit for some reason. Hey man, I'm sorry, Jim, when you guys, for both of you guys, when you're on the road, it might be similar when I do seminars and shit. What do you do to kill the time? I mean, you're usually by yourself probably, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do between shows like to kill the time?
I don't know. I'm lazy Netflix, as hell.
Practice your shit? I don't know.
Yeah. What do you do, Jim?
I'll find a soup kitchen and help. I go out and I do the opposite.
I go under underpasses and pay bums to fight each other. That's who I go. I'm a local bum fight promoter in every city. I usually, if I have a friend in the city, that always helps, like someone I haven't seen or someone I grew up with. But oftentimes, you know, you go to lunch and then you go back to your hotel and nap and then wake up and act like you did something that day.
Yeah,
that was like
same thing.
Louis C.K. did like a bit on that ages ago, and it was about him on the road. It was so funny because I could kind of relate to it. He'd be like, he'd just wake up, jerk off, just leave it on his belly. Go first. He'd go to the mall and order like a fucking frozen yogurt, and it's the first time he talked to somebody all day. And it's like the afternoon. It was a funny.
But that's exactly it. I mean, that's he nailed it because you really don't realize that you spend like up until 4 p.m. You don't talk to anybody, and then it's a lady in the hotel for an extra towel. People don't realize they put you right back in your kennel.
Do you travel with anyone, Dan, or do you? I like to go with somebody just because it's fun to have a friend on the road.
Yeah, I will. Depending on the club, I'll bring my feature act, and that usually is something. But like Tempe, you know, it's such a long way away, and my friend Paulie lives in Tucson, so he was opening for me, but he has a job, so he wasn't like hanging out. So right. I really was just alone the whole time, just being like, all right, then I'll go to the club, I guess.
Half of picking someone to go on the road with you is just, is this a person I can eat lunch and dinner with?
Yes.
And not be want to smash. Like, that's all it is.
How many times, Jim, have you brought someone on the road where you regret it instantly? Like just at dinner and you're like, oh, this is going to suck.
I'll tell you the one guy I really regretted, fucking Keith.
Really?
Years ago, Keith Robinson. This is when I was first started selling tickets. Like, This is probably the old Opie and Anthony show, like 2001, 2002. And Keith and Bob Kelly were coming out with me. And Keith came to Cleveland with me. And he was such an unbearable dick the whole time. Ah, what are you, stupid? Check it in. Ah. Like, he just didn't want me to think I was the boss. And that's the only time.
You're not the headliner. I'm the headliner. Shut up, stupid. Yeah. I don't want to go. Yeah, there's been friends of mine that have brought on the road that when they shoot down all your ideas, you're kind of like, all right, well, now you're making this suck for me.
Yeah.
But you want to go see a movie? And they're like, no. And you're like, you want to go eat lunch at Buffalo Wild Wings? Why are you here? This is
exactly.
Yeah.
It's got to be someone you want to. It's funny. I talked to Dice today. I haven't talked to him in about a month or 2 months. And he goes, we should do a few dates together. And I'm like, yes. Yeah. Like, I would love to go out with fucking Dice and do some shows just to hang with him. And it's like, yeah. We always have fun. And that's, you got to have fun with the guy on the road. Obviously, yeah. He would close.
Yeah. And it's all, what's good is, and you've probably seen this, Jim, is when your friends become super successful to the point that you can open for them and it doesn't hurt your ego. And you're kind of like, oh, this is kind of fun. Because like Nate Bargatze blew up and he's like one of the biggest comics now. And I used to open for him. And then there was this thing of like, maybe I'll go on the road with Nate for a little. That'd be fun. And then I'm like, he's too clean. I forget that.
Yeah. Like Bill Burr called me, but he just wanted me to pick him up at the airport and drop him off. He didn't want me to do any time.
Yeah, that's so funny. He's like, I need a ride, Jim. Just take me to the hotel.
Dude, you're sober. I trust you behind the wheel. Yeah, but when you see your friends, like at least with Dice, it's easy because he's always been bigger than me. Sure. But if it's a guy that like shot past you or that you were kind of equal with at one point, all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm not even in the same convert. Like, I'm lucky I'm in the same business.
Yeah, you feel like left out. You're like, so did I miss the call? And they're like, nah, this person's just doing well. But Matt, with people, like when you have a buddy, right, that kind of pisses you off when you're working, you're doing jujitsu, so you can hurt them a little bit.
Yeah. What do you mean on the road? Like a seminar?
If like you go on a seminar and your buddy's with you and they're kind of being a dick, you're like, let me show this hold to the class real quick on this perk.
I can put it on them a little extra. Yeah. Hey, man, I don't want to be negative, but holy shit, man, we're talking comedy. Norm MacDonald passing.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I've been watching. First of all, I put on for the family Dirty Work.
Yeah, hell yeah. I've never seen that.
Oh, come on, man.
I know. Everyone, even on the radio, I'm out of my mind. I've never seen Dirty Work. Is Artie in that?
Oh, my God. Artie.
Yeah, okay, that's the one.
That's how they met. They met he tried out for that.
Okay.
And Norm liked them and this and that. Artie even talked about it.
Dude,
and he got along right away and.
Something I didn't know when I rewatched it after Norm died, I didn't realize Bob Saget directed it.
Oh, 100%. I'm like the biggest Norm fan. I love his podcast. The one on Netflix was okay, you know, but for a little difference. The first one, Adam Egan was with both of them, the guy who's the comedy.
Oh, yeah.
But they did a show on YouTube.
That's the one I used to watch.
So fucking good. So good. So fucking good. I've been watching it. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm in like a mourning, I feel, because I've been watching.
Absolutely. I think it was a real bummer because I think Norm meant a lot to people, not only in comedy, but outside. What I used to love when Artie would come around and hang out at the Cellar, I would always ask him about Dirty Work because it's one of my favorite movies. And he said Don Rickles, they had him for one day of shooting and Don Rickles never called them by their character names. He was just calling them Artie and Norm. So like during the takes, they had to be like, hey, you called him Norm again. It's actually Mitch in the movie. And he's like, I don't care. He was just like, Artie was saying, like, he just didn't give a shit. He's like, yeah, I'm going to insult you and I'm going to call you whatever I call you.
Chris, he was great in it. They had little parts in it, but he was great. And also Chris Farley was great in it.
Yeah. Jim, I would definitely say watch that movie because it holds up in a way of it's very Norm. It's very like the jokes are very Norm MacDonald.
Is that the one? We watched a scene from a movie. Is that the one with the dead hookers in the trunks?
Yes. Yeah.
We watched that scene on the radio show and I hadn't seen it. And if I've seen parts of it, I don't remember it. And I really left. He was such a funny fucking guy. I mean, a really unique, amazing casual delivery. Like he could hit you with barbaric shit in just the most casual and conversational way. He was really brilliant.
Did you know him well? Because I only met him once in passing, and it wasn't even that.
It's funny, man. We started like I did the Saget roast with him, and I had seen him from time to time. We would always say hello, and he was on the radio show just one time. he started texting me in 2019, like out of the blue. I just started getting a text from Norm because it was about, he was so mad about what was happening with Shane Gillis. He was really outraged by that. And he wanted Shane to come on our show. And so he and I just started texting back and forth and talking. And he was expressing like so much disgust with a lot of the language policing and stuff like that. It was really nice to talk to him. We didn't know each other that well, other than just seeing each other around. So yeah, I got to know him a little bit through that.
That's always a good feeling too, when you're a comic and another comic reaches out that you don't really know, but they kind of understand who you are and they're like, hey, what's up? You know, and there's this kind of like camaraderie, because he was, you know, when he passed away, Shane's one of my best friends, and Shane and I were talking about it, and Shane showed me all of the DMs that Norm sent him.
Yeah.
And you were right. It was like very rage induced, kind of like disgusted that this would happen, where he's like, what are they doing? Why is this happening? We got jokes. Why are they coming after jokes? And it was like, you know, it's reassuring when you kind of see a comic legend like that kind of be pissed at some of the stupid shit.
Yeah. And when it's a guy that, you know, is so respected, and it's a guy that you admire, and you're having that conversation with him, be like, yeah, I feel like very, very flattered that he thinks enough of me to have a conversation. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't, it's not something you look at and go, it's like, wow, it was really, that meant something.
Well, and I think that was always something, like when I first got past at the Cellar, like being able to sit down with all you guys and then like hearing you guys talk shit and knowing it was like similar to how I thought, it was very like reassuring, where you're like, oh yeah, these guys get it. That guy's a hack. And I didn't think anybody knew it.
I know.
Everyone's like, nice, thanks.
Now, did you see the funny text that the DM that Norm sent Joe List?
Oh my God, it's so funny. Where Joe List, a fantastic comic.
Very funny, yeah.
Very, very funny comic. He's got a podcast with Mark Norman called Tuesdays with Stories. And
beep that out. Take that out.
Boop. No other podcast can exist. But he sent Joe List like right when COVID hit, you know. He's like, hey, Joe, how you holding up? And Joe responded, you know, I've had about $11,000 in gigs canceled, but besides that, I'm doing pretty good. And Norm wrote back, oh man, an entire year's of work.
Very funny.
Dude, Norm ruled, man. And like going back and watching all this.
I didn't go for the OJ jokes. That was in poor taste. Yeah. Did that upset you as much as it upset me?
I loved it. Well, what's funny is I was in 2019, I did like, I did Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and I did a bunch of European festivals, and I was in Ireland, and Michelle Wolf was there. And I was talking about Norm. We were at dinner and I was just talking about how, like, I think Norm MacDonald's the funniest person to ever live. And she was like, yeah, I didn't really get into him when he was on the Weekend Update. And I was like, well, you know all about his Michael Jackson jokes. And she's like, well, yeah, not really. And then I put it on YouTube and it was like fun turning Michelle Wolf into a Norm MacDonald fan.
Yeah.
We were like, he had the best Weekend Update jokes.
Dude, he really did. And they were brutal, some of them. I forget what his joke is. And I'm going to butcher it, but he said something about my father died last week, and it's only now I can laugh about it. It's a very funny, very, very funny, very Norm joke, but I probably butchered it the way my aunt would butcher one of my jokes.
Yeah, he had one of my favorite Michael Jackson, because he never let up on OJ or Michael.
No,
Jackson.
He did not.
I mean, to the point that it got him fired from SNL.
Yeah,
because the president of NBC was friends with OJ. But one of my favorite Michael Jackson jokes he had was, he was like, the king of pop is resting in a hospital after ankle surgery. And he requested two giant pictures of Shirley Temple in his room. But don't worry, Michael Jackson is a homosexual pedophile. It was like, the whole audience was like, no. And Norm was just fucking sitting there, just down barrel. He was the best, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. He never gave a shit. Even if it bothered him, it didn't show. You'd never know it.
And he even said, like, he went out there trying to bomb on Weekend Update, being like, I want to do the jokes that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
See, yeah, he was the best.
Stuff like that that cost him his job, like at Weekend Update, where other guys would have complied.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, that's what everybody's talking about now that he's gone. It's like when he did that roast, that Bob Saget's roast, where
one of my favorite sets of all time, and Jim was my favorite callback.
Oh, the Norman
Peter Blue
Peter Fonda Norman Jesus Christ Fonda, Henry Fonda picking blueberries.
Yeah, and he had the paper. And he folded the paper at one point. Was he holding the paper during your set or was someone else's set? He had the paper and he folded it when they brought him up, and then he did the paper. Oh, he didn't have the paper. Because then he goes, I think anybody would enjoy watching Henry Fonda pick blueberries. And even watching you be like, yeah, you're right.
It's funny watching his set. I was on right after him. So the whole time, like whatever you're going on, you're mostly thinking about what am I going to do and what already got, because it was just me. It was Norm and then me and then Gilbert. And that was the end.
Yeah.
That was the end of that roast. So it was more like, oh, that got stepped on, that got stepped on, that got stepped on. So you're like worrying about what you're going to do.
Yeah.
The Henry Fonda line was amazing.
For the people at home listening, when this was at a roast, it was Bob Saget's roast, and Norm Macdonald like did all old fashioned, like out of a 1940s, like joke.
Yeah.
He read old jokes that was so cheesy. And it, after, like, now we all know what he was doing.
Yeah.
But my question is, Jimmy, you were there.
Yes.
I heard it was brutal there. Like, no, even the comedians were almost confused that.
But we got it, though. Of course, the comedians got it. I mean, you know what Norm is like. And when he says that Greg Giraldo, you know, the eyes of an eagle, this man's for the birds. I mean, you know,
but it was brave, don't you think? Like, to do something like that, because it wasn't killing. Was it killing?
No. It started to do better. But with him, it was one of those things where he just did what he wanted to do. And he didn't, again, you never saw him panic. Even the White House Correspondents' Dinner, like when something wasn't working, that it just felt like this is a, you can't tell how much he wanted it to get a laugh or how comfortable he was, because he just always moved forward like this is exactly how this is supposed to be going.
Yeah. And the comics, it was fun to watch everybody as someone that watched the roast. You saw the comics click in with like, oh, I know what Norm's doing. Norm's trying to bomb. And then he would be like, you know, Bob Saget has a furry chest. He's got Rin Tin Tin chest. And then everyone was like, what the fuck? And then you watch the comics being like, oh man, he's taking a dive.
Yeah, that's not his only resemblance to Rin Tin Tin. It was that's so funny. Was. Rin Tin Tin.
It's just Norm, Macdonald just bomb it. It was so funny.
He hesitates. He goes, he's a fucking dog face.
Yeah.
It was fucking, no, listen, hysterical. What a great loss. And another thing, we'll get off it now, but he never told anybody he was sick. Yeah, he's sick.
No.
10 years. That's like Black Panther. That's the one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He had this thing. They don't want no pity.
It's, I get a hangnail and I complain about it on the radio. And it's like, he had cancer for 9 years. And also, just shows you how tough of a guy he is. He doesn't even use it to get out of stuff. You know, it's, I would be like, oh, I can't. I got the cancer.
I've actually been, I don't have cancer, but I lie about it if I'm having a bad set to try to get the crowd on my side.
Just halfway through, you go, also, I want to let you know this might be my last set. I'm dying of cancer.
So if you want to continue talking over there, bachelorette party,
put your dick straws down and listen to a dying man.
But yeah, the fact that he didn't, and who's the actor, Black Panther?
Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman, yeah. Both of those guys, it's like an amazing thing for someone to have that, like, that moral, I guess, fortitude to go, nope, I'm going to plow ahead and I want them only to see the work and my jokes and my, it's amazing.
Even crazier when you think that Chadwick Boseman worked out and got in shape for a superhero movie while battling cancer. That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, I put on some pandemic tits and I keep pretending I wasn't feeling well. I'm tired. My apnea is nothing but excuses.
Yeah, dude. I was just eating late and then I was like, I don't know, maybe I'm sick. Who knows?
Yep. What year are you on Billions? You're five or six?
We're season five's airing. We're airing the back half of season five right now because pandemic, we were halfway through filming it.
Right.
We're up to like episode eight. And then they were like, you know, we got to shut it down. So they aired the first seven during the pandemic. And then we came back and finished the back half. And then now we're already into season six.
Oh, you're already shooting?
Yeah. I think we're already like, we're damn near two thirds of the way done filming season six.
And what was it like? Didn't you have Stipe in your corner for like a boxing episode you did?
Dude, he's the man. He is the fucking man. Stipe rules, dude. He is not a guy. There's few people in life that you meet that you're like, ah, man, that you just hope are cool. As you hope. Like Jon Stewart was as cool as, you know, like Seinfeld sucked. That sucked meeting Seinfeld.
Oh, but no.
Yeah, why? Dude.
Wait. You can't go past that so quickly.
Oh, dude. Well, Jim knows, too. Any comic knows. Seinfeld's a dick.
You know, Jerry is not the warmest guy. He's never been rude to me. Like, he's been conversational. He always says hello. But I always think like, yeah, he doesn't really care about me either way. Yeah.
Well, he's also got the, you know, the infamous Bobby Kelly story. That's not you.
It's the best.
It's my favorite. Oh,
come on, man.
You guys got to have Bobby on to tell that for the proper telling of that story. Cause Bobby got complete. I mean, Seinfeld, I just tried to a couple times say hello the way I would, you know, said hello to like Jim or Patrice or Bobby when I was young, like, hey, how are you? I kind of realized, and just the way all of them handled it, they'd be like, hey, you know, but he was like insulted in a way where I was like, dude, don't be a dick. Come on. What are you?
He didn't like when I walked up to him because I had a coffee. And I'm like, imagine if we were in a car right now, what we could do.
He's like, I'm going to have to ask you, get the fuck out of my face. I'm going to fight you. But Stipe, so we had on Billions, there was this episode where we were in a celebrity boxing match. And of course, it was played up that me and the other guy are completely unathletic because we're completely unathletic. And they were like, oh, cool. I'm a fight fan. You know, I'm a casual UFC fan. I'm a casual boxing fan, but I pay attention. And they were like, the first person they got was Deontay Wilder. And they're like, we got Deontay Wilder for the show. And I was like, dude, you got to let me have the Bronze Bomber as my coach. Come on. That guy's awesome. He's got the heaviest right hand in boxing. And I was like throwing out stats about people he beat. And they were like, yeah. Well, he's not in your corner. And then they were going to, I think originally one of the names they threw out was Joe Rogan. They were like trying to find people to get in my corner. And then they come back and they go, we got Stipe Miocic. And I was like, you got, it was right after he lost to Cormier the first time. And I was like, oh man, you guys got the former UFC heavyweight champion. And they're like, yeah, he's going to come in. And we spent about 2 or 3 days working together. And he was the coolest guy I've ever met in my life.
And so he's showing you how to box?
He, you know, they didn't really like show us stuff as much as they put us in these scenes to make me look stupid while they're training me. Kind of like I'm frustrating them because right. I can't get it. And then he didn't show me anything. But what was cool is I just got to talk to Stipe. Because, you know, when you're filming shit, it takes 14 hours.
It's a case of hurry up and wait.
But I would ask him, I'd be like, why aren't you fighting Cormier again? Like, where's your rematch? And I was just got to ask him things that a UFC fan would want to ask the former heavyweight champion. And he was so nice and so patient and just like talking to me about it. And you're like, oh man, he's a throwback tough guy. You know, he's a firefighter that just like fights. And you're like, dude, you are a badass.
Yeah, he really is. He does nothing but take risks.
Yeah.
Nothing but take risks. And the fact that he's still a firefighter because he enjoys it.
Dude, I was in Cleveland a month ago and I texted him. I was like, hey, I'm in Cleveland. Come on out to a show at Hilarities. And he's like, man, I'm going to see family on Saturday, so I can't. And Friday, you know, I'm on at the firehouse. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. You still go battle fucking fires, dude.
Yeah, he really is a fucking maniac. Like, you don't need to do that. He must love doing it just to keep himself, grounded or whatever, or maybe he just likes the adrenaline.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Matt, you've been a champion, and how much does that like pull you away from your, like, do you feel like once you win a championship, it's hard to kind of go back to being the person you were, or do you try to stay connected with that? Cause I feel like once you're the champ, you're like, I'm the fucking champ, dude.
Nah, I was never that guy.
Yeah.
I upset the champ. You know, yeah. I was a champ for a fucking 6 months and then I was not the champ.
Yeah, fuck that. You were the champ, dude.
I know, you know, then I lost the rematch. But nah, you listen, I think you become more of who you are. So if you're a fucking, just like you guys, you're a popular guy, Dan. I mean, especially in certain circles, that comedy's like fighting in sense, where some certain circles, people are like, oh my God, Dan Soder. Otherwise, some other people are like, oh, well, who's this guy? Same thing with fighting. There's people that come up to me and somewhere, and they'd be like, oh shit, it's a fucking Joe Rogan. I go, ah, close enough. Then, you know, they don't. So, you know, you don't let it get to your head.
Yeah.
Be like, oh wow, people have know. You, somebody's like, oh, why are they asking for your pictures? And then you'll say, oh, but I don't know you.
I don't know you.
In the traffic. I don't know what to tell people when they say shit like that to me.
You know, that's so funny, because comics, what we get is like, oh, are you gonna try to be on SNL? And you're like, yeah, there's several different avenues for that. Have you ever seen somebody, Matt? Have you ever seen somebody kind of become champ and then become an ass, like kind of let the cat out of the bag and be like, oh, I'm actually an asshole. And I was just being nice until I got the gold around my waist.
No, I mean, No, you see people start to drop off, or
yeah,
all of a sudden it's like, yo, man, you don't seem so hungry. Like,
yeah,
right now there's a guy fucking looking to have eat your soul. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean,
commercial. What are you doing? You're doing this. What are you doing right now? Yeah. You should be like fucking Club Alang doing upside down sit ups with a chain on your neck. What yeah. the fuck? See, stuff like that could get to you.
So, yeah,
it's like, dude, you know you're gonna be. This is all great, but you lose a fight, everything's over. So I've seen that happen.
I will tell you, as a UFC fan, I've been talking about this a lot with my friends. I'm very excited for heavyweight John Jones.
If it happens, I mean, I would love to see it happens, but I don't know what he's waiting for. I mean, maybe he's just trying to get the, he said it's been harder than he anticipated, but I mean, him against Francis would be nice. Him against Cyril Gane would be an amazing fight because they both move so well.
Yeah. I saw a picture of him. He like posted a picture and I was like, damn, he's a big boy now.
Yeah. He's gotten
tall,
bigger.
Long, and now he's just like, kind of got fat face.
Even grappling wise, man. I mean, how many guys put DC down? I mean,
yeah.
Grappling. Like, yeah. He's got those long arms.
Do you think that's mad? Is someone that would that affect him shooting his weight? Is that going to affect like how quickly?
I mean, anytime you put on weight, I think that could affect your speed. But
yeah,
he's an athletic guy. I mean,
I just remember I got to see him fight Chael Sonnen, and I was just watching him shoot on Chael, and I was like, this guy's unbelievable.
I mean, and again, I think he's going to have, even if he's putting on weight, I think he's going to have the speed advantage against a lot of these heavyweights.
Yeah.
He's going to be still smaller, probably, most likely, you know. I don't think he's going to be walking around. I don't think he's cutting the 265. I think he's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll fight at like 235, 240 a bit.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's my guess.
You got the skill set to fucking strangle people at any weight, you know, but even besides the striking. I think that's a great equalizer. Like, he fights Francis, I see rear naked choke happening. That's kind
of.
I'm telling you, I see a submission by Jones is what I envision, but
it's possible. Yeah. Although Stipe tried to, when Francis, when Stipe couldn't take him down, when he came in a little bit lighter, that's when you knew Stipe was in trouble. He shot for that takedown and Francis kind of splayed his legs back because he'd been working on the wrestling and the defense for takedowns. You're like, yeah, that's a rough night.
He didn't take him down. Doesn't mean he can't take him down.
I mean, absolutely. Yeah,
shot,
of course.
One shot and then he hit him and he got a little thumb. You know how many guys Stipe put to sleep. So once he connected with him, he's probably said, all right, let me follow this up. And he got, obviously, who has more power than Francis? So,
yeah. And I mean, I remember watching Stipe take some of those shots and he continued through in a way that
crazy.
I was like, damn, dude. Yeah. What a tough guy.
Yeah. Even in the first fight, he took a lot of Francis's shots and he got wobbled, but he wound up, you know, he won a decision, which was the most amazing fight ever. The fact that he took Francis to a decision and beat him 50-45. I mean, you know, I think it was 50-45. It was a dominant win.
What do you guys think about the rematch this weekend with Nick Diaz versus Robbie Lawler, man? It's like 17 years later.
It's stuff. Crazy.
Crazy to think Robbie Lawler and Nick Diaz are fighting. And I love it. I love the Nick Diaz army, and I'm just excited to I'm excited to see him fight again. I've been waiting for him to come back. And so it's definitely a pay-per-view that I'm very excited to see.
And we keep hearing it's going to happen. It's going to happen. They keep teasing it and it just wouldn't happen. I mean, yes, 17 fucking years. Wow.
Wow. That's insane.
It's going to be fucking sick. I can't wait. I'm a huge, you know, I love both guys, but I'm a Diaz. I'm on Diaz.
Yeah.
I'm a Diaz.
Yeah.
I think that guy's a unique individual, just like his brother. They got their own. They got their own fighting style and their own swag.
You know I mean, nothing in sports. I think the Diaz brothers are some of my favorite things in sports because you are truly seeing two guys do what they are supposed to do in this world. And it's like they're born to fight. They're from Stockton. They're from a place that fights. They're from because, you know, my family's from the Bay Area. And then anybody from the Bay Area knows Stockton. They're like, yeah, you don't mess around with Stockton. And then you got these two brothers that are just, you know, the Stockton slap. I'm very excited. And I hope it's a good fight. You know, I think Lawler's unbelievable. I love watching Lawler. And
he's
so
not gonna snap that dude, and he's not getting out like early. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's going to be a fight. It's
exciting for sure.
Dan, we got to wrap up because we got Joseph Benavidez waiting in the waiting room, but you're a great comic and a great stand-up. Where are you performing? Let's plug Dan's stuff properly.
You can go to dansorder.com. I'm going to be at Moon Tower. Then I'm going to be at the Orlando Improv, the Milwaukee Improv, and American Comedy Company in San Diego. Dansorder.com for tickets. Listen to The Bonfire on Sirius XM Monday through Thursday. Jim, Matt, awesome seeing you guys as always.
Hey, next, Dan, wait 1 second, Dan. You know what? It's really quick. We'll let Joe in for a second. It just came to me. Listen.
And I have to piss.
You pissed. I'm going to talk to Dan real quick.
Oh, yeah.
No, I just wanted to say really quick. This This just came to me. I did a show with Dan. I think it was on Louis Gilmez's show. Louis J.
Yeah. Gilmez. Yeah. Yeah.
We did it ages ago, bro.
Yeah.
Ages
I remember ago. That.
And we were talking about movies, and I was talking about like Adrian and how the Rocky movies and how she was a bitch. And I remember I did my whole take on that. And it's actually afterwards you go, oh, I never heard that outlook on that like that. That like kind of a bit.
Yeah.
I actually did it when I did Looking for a Fight. I thought about how you liked what I was saying about that. And I did it because I did on Looking for a Fight, Dan.
Yeah.
Like things. I don't know if you ever saw the show. I had to go to LA. So I had to go to the Death Factory. So part of the thing on that show was.
Oh, I remember that with Dana. Yeah. Where like Dana was. Man. Yeah. I remember that.
I had to do fucking stand up, dude. I'm silly, but I don't know.
You yeah.
Know.
It's.
I remembered that you liked my little bit on Adrian. So if you ever watched that, you're the reason why I'm like, all right,
hell yeah.
Comedian. And he said, oh man, that's a funny, like that's kind of a funny bit or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's always like, hell yeah, dude. I hope it went well. Cause that was really funny. I remember doing Lewis's show. And you said that you were like, yeah, Adrian was a bitch for the way that she made Rocky feel. And I was like, dude, I've never thought about that. And I've been obsessed with Rocky my whole life. So it was such a funny take. I hope it worked.
It's something I stretched out. And I said how she changed within each movie, how it's like relationships. In the beginning,
yeah. Then she got hot and then she wanted money at all.
Bitch. But hey, man, you gave me confidence in that fucking
hell thing. Yeah, Matt. Hell yeah. Thanks, man. Thank you guys so much for having me on. And, you know. Of course, Jim left.
I hear the toilet flushing. He's coming right
yeah.
now. I know Jimmy.
He's going to move that curtain. Dude, well, it was awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Thanks,
and I'll see you guys again soon, hopefully in studio.
Sure, dude. You're the man, dude.
Thank All right, you, later, man. Matt. I'll take it easy.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. And for the racing fanatics, Neds Blended is available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on. Take it to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 stake. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, man, can you hear us?
Yes.
That's exactly how I wanted. That's how we wanted to see you in retirement. Look at you. Getting sun, shirt off.
That's how we do it every day, really. But it means a lot more now, hanging out with this guy.
Oh, look at
that. Very cute dog. Wait, what kind of dog is that? Is that like a hypoallergenic dog? Because I want to get a dog, but I can't have fucking dog hair.
Nah, dude, hypoallergenic's the move. No hair to clean up. Yeah, it's great. He's a Maltese Yorkie, hypoallergenic, yeah.
Very cute. And what made your decision? Was it something that you guys talked over or you had been thinking of for a while, or you just didn't want to do the grind anymore?
For retirement?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And congrats on a personal Joe. Congrats on an amazing career.
Yeah.
Congrats on dude. An amazing career. Thanks, man. It was an awesome journey, you know. It's great to like sit and look back on it now. You know how it is when you're doing it, you don't really like you. I think the reason for our success is because like we don't stop and look at what we're doing. You know, we're on to the next one. Like our next fight's going to be our best fight. And that's always our thought, you know? So, you know, that's why I think I had the longevity in it, and it was great. But now to sit back and relax and, you know, like, I was never great at taking the praise, but seeing like the praise and the compliments come in, and like, it feels really good. And it's something like I can definitely be very proud of, you know? So it's excellent, man. It's a good time.
And now that you're retired, what do you want to do from this point on? Is it going to be hard for you to be like, you know, like if I'm not doing stand up, it's kind of hard for me to be around it. Or because is it something that you want to stick around, or do you want to take a break from MMA for a while, like being in the daily, around it all the time?
Yeah. Well, in my mind, it's kind of like, so like even before MMA, like I lived another life, and it's like, I've already had two lives. So I'm just like, you know, maybe I'll make it three and just like have nothing to do with MMA and just turn into this whole other whatever it may be. And that's what I want to do from the beginning. Like, I actually never wanted to announce my retirement. But the way things work with USADA and making it official, like people find out about it, you know, especially when you're in the rankings and stuff. But yeah, that was kind of my idea. But now without it, you know, it's like I want to be involved in the sport and not in such a like internal way you would think of like most people maybe doing it. Like, I feel like, you know, you become an expert on these things for 15 years. The easiest thing to do is like, well, let's go talk about it, or let's go coach it. You know, let's go run seminars or something. And, you know, that's not something I want to do. And that's kind of at the beginning was like, I should just go do something else. But maybe I can do something else in the sport, like just anything to help the sport. So like even like PR, like I'm interested in like production of content and like stuff like that. Anything to, you know, really build layers to the fight game though, you know, like you guys do with a podcast, like something different. Like, it's not internally like, hey, I'm a fighter, now I'm an analyst or a coach. Like, you know, just something I can build from the inside. I even like the outfitting like department I want to like help with. So I want to help out and definitely be around it. You know,
you want your mind to work on something other than winning this fight strategy, whether that's coaching. You want to exercise your mind a little bit differently than you have been, which has been so geared towards strategizing and fighting and winning in five rounds or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I know you and Megan still doing the podcast.
No, we're not doing it.
Okay. So do you want a podcast again, or is it something that it's just very time consuming and just not something you want to do?
I don't know. I have a few ideas for some that I could do. Like the thing with me, if anybody knows me, like I just like to talk about shit that I like and like force that on people. You know what I mean? Like whatever it may be. So, yeah, I have a few podcast ideas that I could maybe do. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
It's also weird too, because the pandemic had us all in such a weird skeleton routine that anything creative or outside you did was okay to do. But now that shit is getting busy again for everyone, it's kind of hard to schedule that extra stuff because we all have other stuff to do.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm taking a lot of time, you know. I guess answering your first question too, I forgot. I neglected that when you said what came to the decision. Me and Matt started talking. But I've actually known I was going to be retired, like kind of since my last fight. I probably knew I wouldn't fight again. Once again, with the announcement, I didn't really like want to announce it. Just because to me, it's like, well, everyone announces their retirement and, you know, has this and, you know, has a video or, you know, makes a post or whatever. I was like, why can't I just like not fight anymore? And then just now I do something else. I'm not fighting anymore. And, you know, but like I said, with the way the UFC works, you kind of have to do things officially. People are going to find out about it. And then at the end of the day, you know, they're like, you don't get to fight for 15 years at your level and not have people care. I'm just like, all right, that's nice. Cause that's something I didn't want. I didn't want all the attention and praise and all this coming. So I actually wanted to be this week when so much was going on with the big fight, but it happened last week. And like I said, like I've actually, that's been the most meaningful part to me. Actually, the part I kind of was like, oh no, like people are going to, you know, say this and that, and I'm going to get like, that's actually been the most meaningful part right when the stories and stuff started pouring in, got like emotional, and I didn't think I would, because I would just think I was like past, like, hey, like, I'm just going to leave this in the back. But it was an emotional thing, man.
Yeah, a little choked up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, man, I think as you get older, too, you're going to be getting more and more emotional, Joe.
Yeah.
Jimmy cries at commercials. It happens.
I don't want to watch a movie or listen to music, like, unless it's going to make me cry. I'm like, will this make me cry? Like, I'm not into it then.
All right, what's a movie that got you that you didn't think would get you, or that you were surprised got you?
Dude, there's not even surprises. Like, I actually just cry on, like, happy things. Like a lot of happy things, like, make me cry. It doesn't have to be, like, the most devastating, like, movies. You know what I mean? Like, overly sad, like, dramatic movies, maybe not, but, like, I just like happy movies, like, hopeful.
Yeah,
like, make me cry, you know what I mean? Like to see somebody, like, you know, down, and then, like, get that glimmer of hope, like, that's like a big theme for me in, like, a lot of the movies and stuff.
You know what got me, like, a little bit, I wasn't blubbering, it was a little choked up, was yesterday I watched a documentary on the Danbury Trashers. It's on Netflix. They were a hockey team, and I don't give a shit about hockey.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting story about how the mob infiltrated this, like, they're below the NHL, it's UHL. And again, I don't know anything about this hockey league, but it's a fascinating documentary. But some of the camaraderie some of the guys build, at times that will get me, like, oh, I didn't expect that, you know, just a little bit. It's nice.
Oh, yeah. It's nice when it comes out of nowhere.
Now, are you embarrassed to do it? Like, if I'm with a girl, I mean, any girl I date knows I'm a fucking blubbering fool. Now, are you embarrassed to do that in front of your wife, or is she just used to it at this point?
I know, she's used to it. She understands. She hates it. My wife, she actually, like, hates emotion for being the girl. Like, she just wants to listen to, like, fun music and, like, watch fun movies with no feelings. And anytime, like, I want to watch something with feelings, she's like, okay. And, you know, she can usually get through it, but, like, she's not like a feelings person. She avoids that. And I think the reason is, like, her life is pretty serious, like, in a way, you know, not, like, dramatic, but, like, she always has to be on and serious and everything. She's like, look, everything's serious enough. Like, I take my job, my life, like, I work hard. Like,
right.
When I'm done, like, I want to, like, sit down and, like, watch stupid shit. So, like, she actually got me a lot into respecting, like, reality TV. Because her reasoning was like, look, when, like, life is, like, so stressful and everything, like, ours is, and serious and dramatic, it's like, don't you just want to sit there and, like, watch something, like, mindless, where, like, you're glad your life isn't those people, I guess, kind of. So, like, she's always watching some crazy, like, Teen Mom and stuff. The ones I've really gotten into are, like, Below Deck, the yachting show. Oh, incredible. I've watched Vanderpumps. What other ones do I like?
But you don't mind 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, I don't mind 90 Day, but, like,
I like that one too.
Below Deck is my one. Like, I love that show.
What is Below Deck?
Below Deck is basically, it follows, like, a luxury yacht, like, charter season. So it follows, like, the yacht all in this small space, you know, six strangers. So it's always, they're wild. They work hard, you know, they play hard. So there's like five or six. So there's always drama between, like, the girls, the guys. It's, like, always, like, a very incestual crew because they're locked in a boat and they're just horny kids, you know? And then the other thing is, like, the yacht, the people that go on a yacht and want to be on TV is a whole nother story. So they deal with these crazy guests. But the thing for me is, like, there's beautiful destinations and all that sort of stuff. So it kind of, like, checks all these little boxes. It's really fun. Below Deck, it's great.
Like a travel show and some drama.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of drama. Yeah. It's like the real world, like, traveling. It's good.
My wife watches, like, the 90 Day Fiancé, and then
yes,
watches the people that are watching the show.
I hate Pillow Talk. I don't yes, like that one because they just make dumb comments. Her shoes are too long. Ugh.
Megan watches all that too. The people watching the show of Below Deck and 90 Day Fiancé. It's hilarious.
Yeah, Pillow Talk.
I get the appeal now, though. Like, before I'd be like, oh, that is, like, you know what I mean? Like, so lowbrow, like, trash. But now I'm like, there is a place for it, like, in anyone's life, you know, especially, you know, living a whatever kind of life and consuming so much of this. It's like, it's nice to just have that reprieve from anything serious.
It's nice to watch people and realize, like, wow, we're a pretty good couple compared to these two fucking idiots screaming at each other. Don't you hate on 90 Fiancé when they're like, you know, if my father doesn't approve, then we might not be able to get married. It's like, you're 46. Yeah. Why do you need your father to approve?
Yeah. They're crazy, man.
Hey, what about movies? I know you're a movie buff. Anything new?
Dude, I actually haven't been watching a ton because I've been on a lot of shows. The show I've been watching the most, because so basically I do my movie logs on Instagram, if you guys have seen them.
Oh.
Yeah, I hadn't done it in 2 months because I was traveling and stuff. We went to Italy for 2 weeks. It was great. But, like, I do the movie logs, and I basically put all the movies I watch, and I rank them and talk about, like, the best, the favorite, the disappointment, the surprise, all that kind of stuff. But about 2 months ago, I didn't watch any because I watched a show, Matt Sarah, no joke, every day. Every single day, I watched this show. So by the time, like, the month came around, I was like, all I did was watch this show. I probably watched it through, like, 10 or 20 times. And it's a show called I Think You Should Leave on Netflix.
Oh, God.
Dude.
Wait, it's a movie or a show? It's a movie or it's a show?
It's a show, yeah. It's actually a sketch comedy show.
Oh.
But it's the stupidest, like speaking of things I don't, well, like, I don't watch a lot of comedy, but this is more like just absurd comedy. Like, it's like, why is this even made? How did they think of this in the writing room? Like, none of this makes any sense to me.
It's not improv, is it?
It's not improv. No, it's sketch comedy. The guy used to be on SNL, but he was like, he was too weird for SNL, basically.
What's his name?
Tim Robinson.
Okay.
I'm going to check this out. And it's on Netflix.
I mean, you're going to watch it. Like, anyone that watches it the first time is like, what the fuck am I watching?
What's the name of it again? One more time.
I Think You Should Leave.
I Think You Should Leave. All right.
Yeah, it's wild, bro. Like, wild.
Shit, man. All right, Joe.
Well, look, Joe, congratulations, man. Like Matt said, on an amazing career. And obviously, you're a very loved guy in the UFC. And, you know, I'm looking forward to whatever you do next. And, you know, you went out in a way I'm sure that you want to, with people respect you and your health. You know, it's got to feel good to leave on your own terms.
Yeah, that was good. You know, the way I'm thinking about it is like, dude, if I wanted to, I could fight. Like, a lot of people fight to be in the top 10. Like, I could fight in the top 10 for years to come.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? If I wanted to continue to fight guys in the top 10 and make money, I could. But I never wanted to do this as a job. You know, I wanted to do it to be the best. When that didn't happen, you know, it'd be like, well, it's a job if I'm fighting guys in the top 10, especially this next batch of guys in the top 10 are guys that used to watch me with their dads in high school. And, you know, the group ahead of that are guys I coach on The Ultimate Fighter. So, like, the fun part was just kind of taken out of it. And it's like, yeah, I could find the top 10. Like, this could be my job. But, like, I don't want that to be. I'd rather move on and do something that I'm going to be super into.
Yeah, just something else you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit, Joe. Well, listen, man, you know, we love you. Anytime you want to come on and bullshit about anything.
Talk movies or whatever.
Let's do it. Love you guys, man. Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you. And again, congratulations. Well, it was great. Thank you to, we have to wrap up because Matt and I have to do this live thing. So that's
Wednesday. I'm going to be on before talking about the other fights. Let's just touch more base on what happened over the weekend. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Gave the proper dues to the people that were,
okay. Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Not everybody, you know, we didn't get to all the fights and I want to give some props.
All right. Well, we'll, see you guys on Wednesday and we'll talk more about everything. And, thank you to Joseph Benavidez and my pal Dan Soder. And Matt, I'll see you soon.
Hey, Jimmy, you're on Cameo. I'm on Cameo too, Matt Sarah.
That's right, Jim Norton.
Yeah.
Well, go catch. Check me out in Buffalo this weekend if you want.
Ooh, bye, everyone.
Yeah, bye.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest.
The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.